Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 367th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bird Dogs Shorts. Dominate summer with an amazing pair of shorts in a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order at birddogs.com/pool. That's birddogs.com/pool.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 367, as Gumby said off the top. This is going to be dedicated to summer, because it is the first day of summer. So, happy summer, and if you're listening to us in Australia, I'm sure we have some listeners down there, happy winter to you people. But it is summer in Canada, as I explained to my co-host a few episodes ago, so hopefully everyone who is in the Northern Hemisphere is going to have a good summer, because we're kicking it off right now with our 367th episode, and it's all about the UFC once again, because the UFC is back. But no, they're not back in the UFC Apex this week. No, they are on the road. The Octagon has set up shop in the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida, one of the UFC's home away from homes now. And they've got a fight night. It's a fight night card, but it's on the big ABC television network in the United States. So it's a kind of a more stacked fight card, you would say, than we usually get for our Apex type cards. So we're going to break down nine fights on the prelims. And yet I'm still doing a long intro for some reason. So we're going to break down those nine fights today, winning picks only. And then tomorrow we will do the main card and all our fancy picks like locks and dogs and props and parlays and stuff. I'm not doing this alone. No. No one would listen if I did this alone. I have the one and only Gumby God. It's almost time for a Gumby God season. It's Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Gumby God season is moving in close. We're like a month and a half round, away.
How long?
But the real Gumby God season is only a month. August 8th. August 8th is Contender Series. And let me tell you something. I've been looking at the lineups as they slowly roll out. And there are some bangers on the early episodes. There's a really good one on the very first episode, Peyton Talbot versus Junior Cortez in a bantamweight fight. Junior Cortez, the younger brother of Jong's girl, Tracy Cortez. Yeah. Right. he's getting his second crack, and let me tell you something, the dude he's fighting has never been in a boring fight in his whole life. And it's gonna be a good one. And then there's a good heavyweight fight on that one, a good flyweight fight on that one, more to come. I'm pumped for Contender Series. I've been digging in deep on the prospects for Contender Series.
That's what we like to hear. For new listeners to the podcast, welcome, first of all. But also, if you weren't around for the past few seasons, Gumby is the king of picking winners for the Dana White's Contender Series, which happens late summer, early fall, every year, as Dan said. August 8th is starting for a 10-week run, and we make mucho money off of that, because Gumby usually hits at like 80% clip. No joke there. So we have been talking about it already in the Sports Gambling Podcast Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, in the fights channel. We have already been talking about it and hyping up prospects that are going to be on that show. So That will be soon enough. But we have a pretty decent fight card to break down today. Even the prelims we're going to break down right now are a pretty solid prelims. A lot of these fights would be normal main card fights on a fight night.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
There you go. You had to think about it, but yes.
Yeah, I had to think a little bit, but like, no, yeah, like Jamal Emmers versus Jack Jenkins could dot an Apex card main card.
Magny Rowe would, Richie Robertson.
Magny Rowe is a banger, dude.
Yes, sir.
Same with Randy Brown, Wellington Turman.
Yep. Let's get into it then. Enough chit-chatting, I guess, right? Even though people do like the chit-chat we've been told.
They like our chit-chat. We're entertaining.
You do. We are so entertaining. They also like the Bird Dogs. Hopefully they like Bird Dogs because they are sponsoring this episode. Bird Dogs make stretch khaki shorts and they're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dogs shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of stiff, restricting cotton because Bird Dogs fix that issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. You may catch Gumby at the beach wearing Bird Dogs, but you will not catch him in the water wearing his Bird Dogs. So no chance at all. But if you want to be caught anywhere in Bird Dogs, here's what you got to do. Go to birddogs.com/pool and enter promo code POOL. That's how you spell pool? Yes, POOL. For a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order, that's birddogs, birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you. It's going to be a good episode. I'm already questioning whether I'm spelling pool correctly, and we just started.
You're doing just fine.
Yeah, he's a coach.
I believe in you.
Oh, wow, amazing. Let's see if you believe in some of my picks. I have heard some of Gumby's picks. I was having trouble picking winners for this card. I was having trouble finding any valuable or value place in terms of underdogs. So I listened to Top Turtle, Gumby's other podcast, another great episode this week. Grant Dawson, really good interview. Trevor Peak, he was underwater for most of the interview, but it was still fun. Anyway.
That's not his fault though. I'm pretty sure something went wrong with my side of the recording.
I shouldn't bring it up, but it was still good.
It was weird. So for anybody who hasn't listened to it, because you know you're always going to listen to everything I tell you to. Yes. When I finished the recording with him, all of my words sounded fine. Like you heard it, the words that came out of my mouth sounded fine. The words that came out of his mouth recorded in double speed.
I would have posted it like that. That would have been fantastic.
Okay. Which would have been
and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It posted in double speed. So then I had to slow it down to get it to be even close to listenable. And then when I slowed it down, it's got like weird glitch noises in it. So it's like very entertaining because he's like a super entertaining guy, but it does sound a little bit weird. So, you know,
he was in Bikini Bottom when he did the interview. No big deal.
It wasn't good SpongeBob reference, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. I figure that's up your alley because you're a youngster. So
it's after my time.
Your kids, are they into SpongeBob or not yet?
No, it's like it's in that sweet spot in between the two of us. Well, neither of us are into it.
Yeah. Oh, well. Trevor Peak, very good. When Gumby asked him about his, we'll be talking about him very shortly. Standing hammer fist, he says he doesn't know. He just throws them things. So that's the type of response you get from him.
And his striking coaches hate it.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll talk about him in three fights. First, we're going to start off. This one is a banger as well. Actually, let me set the table for you here. I told you off top, ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville is where this is taking place. June 24th, UFC on ABC, Emmett versus Topuria, or UFC Jacksonville. I'm naming my article on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It is a early fight card. Us on the East Coast, it started at prelims 11:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus. Does that work in your schedule, Dan?
That works perfect in my schedule.
All right. No, it won't interrupt SpongeBob on the TV, apparently, because you don't watch it. So perfect.
Nope, I don't.
And it's on 24 hours a day anyhow, so it doesn't matter. You'll never.
Is it really on all that time?
It is on a lot. It is on a lot. My son's pretty much seen all of them, so we don't watch it like we used to. But anyhow, let's talk about someone we do still enjoy watching. Tetsuro Taira at flyweight. He's fighting Clayton Rodriguez. should be fit. Tyra's one of our, I think he's borderline one of our not Patreon.
He's turned into one of our guys. He's a guy.
Yeah, one of our us in the Discord's guys, right?
Yeah.
Because he's really good. Well, let's see what we think about him fighting Clayton Rodriguez, whose nickname is KR, his initials. So creative. He's 8-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He is 1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight via TKO after dropping his debut. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He also was the Jungle Fight champion. He's twice more active than Tyra landing strikes over their UFC and Contender Series careers. He has outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 3 strikes a minute, which is an incredibly high number. It's not like we're talking one fight. This is 3 fights. So it's a pretty solid, solid resume there. He's at +215. Tyra, 13-0. 3 knockouts, 7 submissions, 3-0 in the UFC. The last 2 wins via submission. He was the Shudo champion. So we have a regional Brazilian champion versus a regional Japanese champion. He's 2 inches taller than Rodriguez, 3 inches of reach over him, 5 years younger. Better striking and grappling stats based on their UFC careers. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.74 strikes a minute, -250. We're both picking Tyra, I'm guessing. Tell us, tell the people why.
Yeah, I'm taking Tetsuya Tyra. The big piece for me is just that, like, so Tyra is an amazing grappler, right? Like, that's the bottom line on Tyra and why anybody really loves Tetsuya Tyra. But the bigger thing for me is just, like, anybody who can get Clayton Rodriguez to the ground is going to beat him. You know, Clayton Rodriguez needed to try to get CJ Vergara down and didn't succeed enough to win the fight. And Vergara wound up winning that fight by split decision. I think I agree with the decision. And so, like, if Rodriguez doesn't have the grappling advantage over somebody, you know, with the exception of the KO loss or KO win over Shannon Ross, he tends to lose. And like, he barely won that fight with Santo Curatolo on Contender Series. He didn't have the grappling advantage. I just think he won't have the grappling advantage in a fight where he very badly needs the grappling advantage. Like, I think he's going to get outstruck by Tyra, and I think he's 80 times worse on the mat than Tyra. So, yeah, give me Tetsuya Tyra here. I think -240, good price for, like, parlay building. Outside of that, like, you know, maybe you want a straight play, but I think maybe look at props and parlays here for Tyra.
I'm only giving you -250, though. Sorry, you don't get him at -240 at my book. So, sorry. But we're still taking.
Fine.
We're still taking Tyra. He's just dangerous everywhere, especially on the ground. And he has Beetle Mania hair. So what more do you want?
We have another one like that.
We do. Coming up, with the ultimate. All right. Featherweights, Jamal Emmers, Jack Jenkins. Tell you about Jenkins. Far is his nickname, P-H-A-R. Have we discussed that? Do we know what that is?
We've discussed it more than once, and I still don't know what it is.
Okay, good. I was thought I had forgotten. Jenkins, 11-2, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted twice. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. You're going to get, everyone's going to get very annoyed at hearing that because we got a lot of those coming up. He has missed weight. No, sorry, wrong guy. He used to fight at upper weight class at lightweight. He's 4 years younger than Emmers. He's outstruck his 2 opponents in the UFC and Contender Series by 2.27 strikes a minute. So pretty good number there. +175. Pretty boy, Jamal Emmers. 19-6. 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 2-2 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss, win. So he's due for a loss, according to that. He's 0-1, was 0-1 in the Contender Series. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Shirt, store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com /store. See, I'm getting lazy already with it. He has missed weight before. This guy has missed weight. He used to fight up at lightweight as well. 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 inches taller than Jenkins, 6 inches of reach on him. So half a foot of reach. He's more active landing strikes. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.53 strikes a minute, -200. My turn. This is one of my rare underdogs on this fight card. I'm taking Jack Jenkins. I've liked what we've seen from him ever since he debuted in the Contender Series. And I think he has what it takes, and he's a better fighter than Jamal Emmers. So give me Jenkins to keep his little bit of a hot streak going here.
I'm going to agree with you here. I like the Jack Jenkins underdog pick. The biggest piece for me is the speed. If you watch Jack Jenkins on Contender Series, which, by the way, we all did because we all love Contender Series. When I was breaking down his fight with Freddie Linares, I said, look, Freddie Linares is good. And I still think Freddie Linares is good. But I said, Jenkins is going to be faster. And Jenkins also does this brilliant thing of, like, mixing all of the things he does. Like, yes, he's a great boxer with good power. But also, he sneaks in a lot of great takedowns. And he's got good takedown defense. And he absolutely blasts people's legs. And this is a thing I think people are not expecting in this fight. He's actually finished fights with leg kicks. And more than one, has he, like, gotten a guy ready to finish with leg kicks. One, he's actually just finished straight up with leg kicks. I think he's going to use that against Emers, especially with Emers having a reach advantage. I think you'll see Jack Jenkins, you know, kind of picking him apart from distance. I think you're going to see Emers shoot some takedowns and fail. And I think that's ultimately going to cost him cardio. It's going to look bad on the judges' scorecards. I think Jenkins is going to pick him apart. So, yeah, give me Jack Jenkins here.
What I forgot to mention, Jenkins, 8 straight wins, has not lost in over 5 years also. So, while Emers just is kind of inconsistent, back and forth, back and forth. Why do you think the line is set up the way it is?
So is this a short notice one for Jack Jenkins? Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah,
there you go. If we don't know, that's probably a good thing for us.
I mean, maybe the losses that Emers has are high level. You know, like if you look at his two losses in his last, let's see, 8 fights. He's only lost 2 times in his last 8 fights. It's a split to Giga Chikadze and a submission to Pat Sabatini, which obviously looks very nice on paper. But, you know, Jack Jenkins is just, like I said, he's so fast. I think that piece can't be underrated, especially if you think he's got good takedown defense. So, yeah, give me Sabatini here.
Give you Sabatini? I'll give you Jenkins instead. How about?
Or Jenkins, sorry. But you could also give me Sabatini if you want.
That's true.
I think he's going to win every fight from now until the end of time.
Yes, it's true. All right. That's our underdog pick, and it's good timing because we are also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. That linked up perfectly here. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and college baseball player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and they're active in so many states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, where are we going now? Oh, the aforementioned Trevor Peake. We already pretty much told you all about him. he is another one who is... his first fight, we all went crazy in the Discord, right? He was the guy. We're like, this guy's such a weirdo. We love him.
So he's so fun to watch.
You told us in advance we were gonna love him, and we did. because he's a wacko, and that's what we like.
When he was on Contender Series, I told you you'd love him.
Right. And that's true. Yep. All right. Let's tell you about his fight. He's fighting not the Hall of Fame pitcher, Jose Mar. Is it Marischal? Marischal? Do you know how you pronounce his name? Marischal?
I think it's Marischal. Yeah.
Marischal. Okay. He's fighting Jose Marischal. Machine Gun is the name. He's 13-6, six knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out three times. This is his short notice debut in the UFC. So everyone who's listened to the show before, the red lights are flashing, warning danger right here. Short notice debut is not a good thing to bet on. Anyhow, he's 3-0 over his last three, all via knockout or TKO. Multi-region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. See if there's any shirts that say that on it. He used to fight at featherweight, and he's at even money plus 100. Trevor Peak, no nicknames needed. It should be Hammerfist, right? Hammerfist Peak.
No.
Or does he call? He calls him something different, right?
He calls him Tomahawks.
Tomahawk Peak. All right, fine. He's 8-0 with eight knockouts. 1-0 in the UFC. 1-0 in Contender Series. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. 3 years younger than Marischal, 3 inches of height on him. He's at -105. We'll let you go.
I can't believe we'll tell people
why we're taking Peak.
I can't believe he's at -105.
I know it's dropped since, it's gotten better since I did it like 2 days ago.
It's short notice for Marischal, which you know, sometimes I'm on this short notice guy, but look, Marischal. Dude, I don't want to disparage people because Chepe Marischal is probably UFC level. He's fun to watch. He's a good striker. He's got low key kind of like a good judo base where he throws some hip throws. But like also anybody with wrestling defense has beat the shit out of this guy. You know, like his losses are to all UFC level guys, but it's UFC level guys who have good wrestling defense. Joe Anderson Brito. Sean Soriano, by the way, Sean Soriano, like 0-5 in the UFC. Steve Garcia, some wrestling defense. Bryce Mitchell, Gregor Gillespie, like all guys who you know, but like what is similar about all those guys? Takedown defense, takedown defense, takedown defense, takedown defense, or their own takedowns. And if you look at his recent fights, it's all like wins by ground and pound. And look, you're just not going to outwork Trevor Peak. Trevor Peak has better grappling defense than people give him credit for. And like, if you're the type of guy who goes balls to the wall for two rounds looking for a finish, I got bad news for you. Trevor Peak is going to ruin you in the second round. And if you heard my interview with Trevor Peak earlier today, Trevor Peak is predicting a second round finish. And look, if you can find the prop on Trevor Peak in the second round, get on it. I think he's right.
Yeah, I can't even find a KO prop for him, which is what I want to tell people to play, because Marischal has been knocked out three times before, and all Peak does is knock people out. So we're getting a good line on Peak
early in fights, too.
Sure.
Joe Anderson Brito beat him in 44 seconds.
There you go. Sorry. Yes, he loses early in fights. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
You can get fancy. You can get really fancy with this one if you want, but... Peak is the pick, not just because we're pretty much adopting him in the Discord, but this is, I was very happy when I saw the line here. The short notice stat, once again, late replacements win 38% of the time. This year they're doing better, 52%. So maybe that's it, Dan, but still, it's still not an amazing, amazing stat, 52%. So we are both in on all the same fighters thus far. Let's go to women's strawweights. Tabitha Ricci versus Jillian Robertson. This is one half of our friend Jong's hibachi parlay this week. Ricci and Hibas hibachi is the parlay.
So, I like that.
Yes. All right. Robertson, Canadian. The Savage is the nickname, not Canadian. 12-7, one knockout, nine submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once, 9-5 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight and 3 of 4. Last two wins via submission. That's what she specializes in. Used to fight up at flyweight. 0-1 the Ultimate Fighter. 4 inches taller than Ricci. Got 2 inches of reach on her. You know Ricci's 5'1". Did you realize she was that small?
I did, yeah. She's very small.
She is very small. Robertson has been outstruck by 0.49 strikes a minute over her UFC career. She's at +115. Baby Shark, Ricci, 8-1, one knockout, three submissions. She's been knocked out herself once. The only time she's been... bested in a fight. 3-1 in the UFC. She won 3 straight fights after dropping her debut. Won her last fight via submission. She's not lost since June of 2021. She also used to fight up at flyweight, which is crazy for a 5'1" fighter. 2013 pro MMA debut. More active landing strikes and better grappling stats than Robertson. However, she's been outstruck over her UFC career by almost a strike a minute. She's at minus 0.97 to be exact. Minus 125 is the betting number for her. And I am taking that. Actually, is it my turn?
It's your turn.
No, it's my turn. I am taking that number on Ricci. Yeah, Robertson, even though she is Canadian, striking seems
betraying
to be getting worse.
Your country again. I see,
huh? Yes, her striking seems to be getting worse with every fight. And
she
really
looked better last fight.
She really needs to grapple to win.
Yeah. Well,
and good luck doing that in this fight, because Ricci, that's her specialty as well.
I think she looked better in her last fight. I think in the Pierre Rodriguez fight, she gave me a lot of hope. I actually thought her speed played up at strawweight, and she looked much better. But I will say, I agree with you entirely. I think Tabitha Ricci is a nightmare matchup for her. I don't think she can take Tabitha Ricci to the mat. I think Tabitha Ricci decides when this fight happens. And more importantly, if Tabitha Ricci's on top, I just don't see Jillian tapping her. Like, I don't think she's going to tap her from the back. And it's also worth mentioning, I know you mentioned Tabitha Ricci fought up at flyweight. She really only did that for one short notice fight. And that short notice fight is her only professional loss. And that's against Manal Fiorro on short notice up a weight class.
Our girl.
Which is just an insane ask. And since then, she's beaten the hell out of Maria Oliveira, Pauliana Viana, and Jessica Penne. I think Robertson is in for a really long night. I think she's going to get taken down at will. And Ricci's going to look good here.
All right. There you go. We're going back to the men's side, up to welterweight. Randy Brown, Wellington Turman, Gumby mentioned. Actually, I think I missed a fight here, didn't I? Yes, lightweights first, excuse me. In the men's side, Matthias Rebecki, Loic Radzhabov.
Radzhabov.
The Tajik Tank is his nickname. He's 17-4-1, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC, part of a 2-fight winning streak, and he's won 4 of his last 5 fights. He went 4-4 in PFL. He was the M1 champion. He also has multiple YouTube championships on his
mantle.
Correct. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. The Tank used to fight up at welterweight. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. 4 inches of height, 3 inches of reach over Rebecki. He's been outstruck over his one UFC fight by 1.73 strikes a minute. He's at plus 130. Rabisti Rebecki is 17-1, 8 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series. He's won 14 straight fights. He's not lost since September of 2014. He's a regional champion, not multiple, sadly. 2 years younger than the Tajik Tank. He's got better striking and active striking stats. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by almost 3 strikes a minute, 2.87 to be exact, and he's at minus 150.
This should be an easy, this should be an easy one for Matthias Rebecki. And it's not that I don't believe in Loic Radzhabov. I actually think the number's only as low as it is because people are doubting Rebecki for his past performances where he decided to just spam 700 straight overhand rights, which, by the way, is not the best way to win a fight, to just spam overhand rights. But that's what he did against Nick Fiore. But look, Radzhabov fought Esteban Ribovic in his UFC debut. He did wind up winning that fight, but he won that fight largely on, like, the tails of 11 takedowns. Like, he had 11 takedowns, and if he didn't hit those, he would have lost the fight. He got outstruck. He got knocked down with a punch. He clearly lost the second round. Some people might even argue that he had a little trouble in the third round. There's lots to be like, did Radzhabov, is he ready? And when you add in the fact that he's not going to hit any of those 11 takedown attempts against Rebecki, because that's the fact of the matter. Rebecki is 80 times better of a grappler than Loic Radzhabov is. Like, as long as he stuffs those, he's going to get torched on the feet. So as long as Rebecki doesn't fight dumb, which ultimately I think is the only reason you might pick Radzhabov, is if you're like betting on Rebecki to fight like an idiot again. As long as he doesn't fight like that, he should have an easy time tonight.
Yep, I agree. Rabisky is my pick as well here. All right. Now we're going to go to Walter.
Are we on agreement on everything so far?
We have so far. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to zig and zag opposite ways here. We got four more fights to go, so we shall see. Randy Brown, Wellington Turman is the next one. Walter Waits. I was dying to tell you about this earlier. Let's tell you about it now. The prodigy, Wellington Turman, 18-6, four knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 3-4 in the UFC. He's won two of his last three. However, he did lose his last fight. He's fought at middleweight, 6 years younger than Brown. He's been outstruck by 0.87 strikes a minute, and he's at plus 200. Rude boy, Randy Brown, 16-5, six knockouts, five submissions, knocked out twice, submitted twice, 10-5 in the UFC. He's won four of his last five. He also lost his last fight. This one via submission. Was a regional champion, 3 inches taller, 6 inches of reach over Turman. Now, I read it. I can't remember where I saw it, but I did read a study on reach. I tracked reach for a while, and it was basically 50-50. So, like, a bigger reach was not making a difference. But apparently, the higher the weight class, the more it makes a bigger difference, which makes sense because fighters hit harder at higher weight classes. So, just thought I'd throw that out here. So half a foot of reach at welterweight is probably pretty a decent thing to have on your side. Brown has striking and active striking stats in his favor as well. He's outstruck his UFC opponents at 1.09 strikes a minute. Minus 225 is the number on him. I will take Rude Boy Randy Brown here. Way better striker. He's just a darn good fighter all around. Better than Turman. Has beaten better fighters than Turman. I think he gets this done for us, or for me at least.
Yeah, I'm with you on Randy Brown.
Us.
I think the reach is going to play up. I also just think, like, Wellington Turman is like a, and this is not meant to be derogatory, but he's like a poor man's Glover Teixeira. He trains with Glover Teixeira, but also, like, he's the grappling side of Glover Teixeira with less competence in terms of striking. But even in the ways that he strike, and like the striking skills are similar to the Glover Teixeira's in that he throws the same kind of hook combos. He throws the same overhands. It's just a means to an end. He's looking for the takedown. And when you look at the people who've beaten Randy Brown, it's people who can hit hard and strike with him. He's got two losses in the last 4.5 years, and it's Jack Della Maddalena and Vicente Luque. Meanwhile, he's beaten Warley Alves and Jared Gooden and Chaos Williams and Francisco Trinaldo and Cowboy Oliveira and Brian Barberena, like legit ass dudes. Whereas when you're looking at Wellington Turman, you know, not to disparage his run entirely, but like his wins since he's come to the UFC are Marcus Perez, Sam Alvey, and Misha Serkinov, none of which are still in the UFC. The Sam Alvey win was a split decision victory. And, you know, like anybody who can stuff his takedowns and force him to strike, he gets the crap beat out of him. And I think that's here with Randy Brown. I think Randy Brown toughened the takedown defense really long. He's going to pepper him with jabs. I think you're going to see him light him up on the feet. I think this is going to be an easy night for Randy Brown. So, yeah, give me Randy Brown on this one, too.
Yep. Not a good line, but he should be winning this fight fairly. Well, not easily, but he's going to win this fight. Let's go all the way up to heavyweight. Austin Lane, Justin Toffa, a chunky boy battle. We'll tell you about Lane first, 12-3, 11 knockouts, one submission. So he's finished all of his opponents, and he's been finishing all of his fights that he's lost. Three knockouts against. This is his UFC debut. He went 1-1 the contender series. He's won six straight fights. However, he's not lost since March of 2020. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. He was an NFL defensive end in a past life. He's got half a foot of reach and half a foot of height over Toffa. He's outstruck his two contender series opponents by 2.36 strikes a minute. He's at plus 150. However, he's not a bad man. That would be Toffa. 6-3 with six knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 3-3 in the UFC. He's won two straight fights. He's not lost since May of 2021. He's missed weight at heavyweight, which was his last fight, I believe. Was a regional champion. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was 25 pounds heavier than Lane. He's 6 years younger as well. He's more active landing strikes and has better grappling stats. He has been outstruck, though, by his opponents by 0.86 strikes a minute. He's at minus 175.
I'm going to go with Justin Toffa here. I think, you know, what I've seen out of Austin Lane is kind of, you know, hit or miss. But the bottom line is when you watch Austin Lane fight, he's decent on the feet. He hits people with power. Like if you watch that Juan Adams fight, he got jacked up by Juan Adams nonstop for like 2.5 to 3 rounds. He wound up outlasting him and winning in the fourth round in a title fight. And like, good for him for being able to survive, you know, rounds of abuse from Juan Adams, who does hit pretty hard. But at the end of the day, Justin Toffa hits harder than that. Justin Toffa is a good boxer. And this is a fight where Justin Toffa is not going to be threatened with his wrestling, right? Like, it's not like there's any secret to what Austin Lane wants to do. It's he wants to strike and hit you. And, you know, if you're going to do that with Justin Toffa, Justin Toffa is going to knock you out. If you can take him down and work with him, sure. Yeah, Justin Toffa could lose this fight. But this isn't a fight where Justin Toffa has to worry about being taken down. So I think Justin Toffa waits for that big moment. He lands the big shot, and I think he's going to knock Austin Lane out here.
Yeah, Lane does not impress me. He lost to Greg Hardy. Like that's all you really need to know. But yeah, Toffa.
By basically doing like a poor man's version of what Justin Toffa does, right? Like that's the bottom line. Yeah.
Yep. He is a better fighter. All right, we're dropping all the way down to flyweights now on the male side. Apparently, this fight's going to happen, and we'll break it down just in case Chalgas Chumagula does actually get to enter the cage.
He's not going to fight. No, nobody thinks he's going to fight.
He's fighting against Joshua Van, a newcomer. The fearless Joshua Van, 7-1, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone, and he's been submitted once in a fight, which is this is rare for a flyweight. He's never gone the distance. This is his short notice debut. Warning, warning, danger, danger. He was the Fury FC champion, 13 years younger than Chumagulov, 1 inch taller. I don't have reach info for him, plus 170. Chaco, it's almost, 3 straight events? I've broken down his resume, but here we go again. 14-8, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice. 1-5 in the UFC. He's lost 3 straight fights. He was the FNG champ. Used to fight at bantamweight. He's been outstruck by half a strike a minute in the UFC. He has 2 wives and 6 children, and he's at minus 180. and Beatles, maybe it's not a Beatles. It's more like a Beatles wig is what he has. It's like he's dressing up like a Beatle for Halloween is what his hair looks like. I guess I'm picking Chumagulov because we're talking about short notice debut. Van does not have the greatest resume either. So if it happens, I'll bet Chumagulov.
This will be the lone fight we differ.
Okay.
I'm going to take Joshua Van. I was going to take him in his contender series matchup, which was coming in a month. He was actually supposed to be, you know, I was mentioning the flyweight fight that was supposed to be on contender series early on the show. Like I was going to pick him to win that fight. If you watch his last fight, which came in Fury FC, he showed that he's got really good takedown defense. Like they, McLean, is it Cleveland McLean? I think it's Cleveland McLean. Pressed him up against the cage, tried to get some work done there, and he just failed because Joshua Van did a really great job of stuffing that. And if you go back and you watch all of, you know, Joshua Van's prior fights, like fast on the feet, does really good work on the feet, but also like if he gets you on the ground, he's got really great submission skills. And I don't just mean like the standard stuff, like the rear naked chokes and move to arm triangles and stuff, but like, you know, he'll take out a calf slicer. He's got a standing rear naked choke. Like, you know, he's good landing ground and pound from the mat. Like, he does it all. And I think you're going to see he's faster here than Chalgas Chumagulov. And that's a big enough piece because, like, dude, Chalgas is going to be cutting weight for, like, the 85th time, which is already kind of worrying me. And I do believe, while we don't have official reach stats here, I do believe he's going to be giving up significant reach, like pretty significant reach, because Joshua Van's an inch taller, and he definitely looks longer in the way that he fights. So I think that's going to be a problem for Chalgas. So give me Joshua Van here, especially at the price you're going to get him at.
All right, the weight cut thing is a very good point. Gumby, you have a good point. I knew there was a reason to have you on the show, and there it is.
Yeah, 30 straight weight cuts, not good for your body?
No, especially when he's
especially when you got 100 kids.
100 kids and a million wives, and he's not the youngest person, and he's got hair to upkeep. All right, main event of the prelims. This is a very, very solid prelim main event. Welterweights, Neil Magny, Philip Rowe. I will tell you about Rowe first, the Fresh Prince, Philip Rowe. 10-3, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he has finished everyone. He's been knocked out once. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, all via knockout or TKO. He's missed weight in 2 of those 3 fights, though, so you may want to keep an eye on that. Usually fighters that miss weight do not win fights, but he's been bucking that trend. 1-0 in the contender series, used to fight down at lightweight. 3 years younger than Magny. He's more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.58 strikes a minute. He is the underdog, +145. The Haitian sensation, Neil Magny, 27-10, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted 6 times, 20-9 in the UFC. So he has been around a while. Loss, win, loss has been his last 3 fights. He did lose his last fight via submission. 3-1, the Ultimate Fighter. Used fight up at middleweight. 2010 pro MMA debut. He's got a positive strike differential of 1.34 strikes a minute. Better grappling stats than Rowe, -160. You can finish it off for us here.
I'm going to take Phil Rowe. I'm going to go dog to end here. And for a couple of reasons. The first one being, I've just been so impressed by Phil Rowe's last 3 fights in the UFC. He's beaten Nico Price, Jason Witt, and Orion Kosuke all by punches. And the craziest part of that for me is his striking isn't even the best part of his game. Like, I really love this dude's submission skills. I think if he can get you to the mat, his ability to attack your neck or to control position is really good. But even apart from that, he's dangerous on the feet. He knocked out Nico Price. It's hard to knock out Nico Price. Nico Price is a tough mother. But also the biggest piece for me and why I like him here against Neil Magny is that Neil Magny is a guy who's lived his whole career by being just like the longer dude. By being a guy who on his feet, his jab is going to hit you before your jab hits him, because he's got an 80-inch reach at welterweight, which is one of the most insane reaches ever. But guess what? Phil Rowe has an 80.5-inch reach. And that alone, combined with the fact that I think he's a better power puncher than Neil Magny, is enough for me to say, look, this guy has a lot of skills, has a lot of attributes that should make him a tough out for Neil Magny. So yeah, give me Phil Rowe. I'm gonna end dog here.
I was happy to hear you were in on Rowe as well, because I am as well.
We differed on one fight total.
I know, yeah, yeah. He's got the exact same reach and exact same height as Magny, and that's how Magny wins fights, is by being longer and like impossible for guys to get close to and to fight. So Rowe will be able to.
And I'll also say this, Magny sometimes wins fights when he can't get what he wants from striking range, from just like being a gritty grappler. I think he's the worst grappler in this fight.
Yep. And he definitely doesn't hit as hard either. So he's going to get hit. And I wouldn't be mad about taking Rowe if someone wanted to sprinkle some money on Rowe via knockout for this one as well. So, all right. Because that's what he does. He finishes fights. Recap. We both are in on Rowe. I got Chumagulov. He's got Van. Both in on Toffa, both in on Brown, both in on Rebecca, both in on Ricci, both in on Peak, both in on Jenkins, both in on Tyra. There you go. 9 fights broken down for you. We're not done though. We're going to be back tomorrow to do the main card, which is only 5 fights. So we'll have time to stretch out a bit. And we're going to give you some fancy, dancy picks there as well. Told you about the Discord. Get in there and chat with us. Twitter is SGP and MMA and Gumby Vreeland. And Jeff Fox Writer told you about Top Turtle. Make sure you listen to it this week. Another good episode as per usual. Get all my MMA writing into your inbox automatically if you sign up at moneymma.substack.com and enter my weekly UFC pick'em contest there, and all the good things in the sports gambling spaces at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So we'll be back tomorrow. It will be me, Rabisti, Jeff Fox, and of course, the prodigy Gumby Vreeland will be with me as well. Adios.